Hallelujah. That's a good song. Amen. God bless whoever wrote that song, who is not ashamed to mention the name of Jesus and to declare clearly that there is no name by which people can be saved except the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. They don't come like that anymore. So when you find one like that, you need to celebrate and encourage him. Amen. So God bless Israel and the team. Amen. Right, Father, we thank you so much for this afternoon. And we thank you for the opportunity to be in church for the second time. It is such a blessing, and we are grateful to you for the honor and privilege. We pray, Lord, that you will speak to us once again. Open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of your law. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, please be seated. Amen. Amen. And we're blessed to be here.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Blessed to be in our second service of the day.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, last couple of weeks ago, I was in Accra, in Ghana, and I had the opportunity to be following the bishop around. On Sunday morning, you know, and I was so blessed and encouraged. Do you get it? Because we left and then went from one church to the other, one First Love Church to the other. Do you understand? Meeting in different classrooms, in different schools. And each time he was preaching, and when we finished, we just jump into the car, then we race to the next place, you know. Yeah, yeah. And we did three of them, three different universities. Do you see? So when you see someone has been blessed and he has thousands of sheep, you don't know how he comes by them. Do you understand? Yeah, you be there on Sunday morning, you just go to your cozy church and preach one cozy sermon and just go pack yourself up back into bed. You know, but he was out there preaching in classrooms, and some of the classrooms were not even as big as this place. They're small places. I mean, when you hear the message on the podcast, it sounds like he's preaching in a very wild place, but it's just a small classroom full of students, a handful of students. But to respect it and to plant the seed, and even the fact that the messages from there bless us so much. They tell you that what is going on there is not a joke. But when you are in it, it looks to you like it's a joke. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, that out of this place, you know, a small classroom full of people, a message is being preached that is going out to the world. Do you see what I'm saying? And the world is blessed so much by that message, but it's happening in a classroom and happening in a small place that makes you easily think there's not much to it. Are you getting what I'm saying? So it is our blessing and privilege to go from place to place on Sunday to preach. Hallelujah. Yeah. We need another one. Yeah, we should be from here. We should have been packing, go on to the next place. Do you get it? And we finish around 9 p.m. and we're really tired and exhausted. But you know, it's going to be a good tiredness, because we'll be exhausted, but we'll feel satisfied that we've been doing something worthwhile. Hallelujah. Amen. So it's a real blessing. And I tell you, he was preaching about tithing, and he would go to one place, then he would continue in the next place, and continue in the next place, you know. And it's just so powerful. Hallelujah. Right. Well, let me take a few moments this afternoon to share with you five reasons why this church in Rancho is necessary. Aha. Hallelujah. Because you can easily ask yourself, what at all are we doing? You see, you can easily ask yourself, is this necessary at all? Do you see? that what is the point of all this? And is this necessary? So I want to give you five reasons why a church, a lighthouse church in Rancho, is necessary.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Number one is that many pastors are deceived, or let's say many Christians are deceived into thinking that the work is being done. That enough work is being done. Okay? Number one is that many Christians are deceived into thinking that enough work is being done. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, let's read Matthew chapter 9. And verse 35. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The book of Matthew, the chapter number 9, and then the verse is 35. Hallelujah. All right, what does it say over there? Can you read with me? One, two, three, go. And Jesus, he went about where? All the cities, and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, isn't it? And doing what else? And healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you see that a lot is being suggested to be going on in this verse? Isn't it? Even by the use of the word all and every, more than once, isn't it? He went about all the cities and all the villages. See, there's a sense of plurality is the word. Plurality, isn't it? Yeah, it's a sense of plurality that is that goes with this verse. Do you understand? That is engaged in this verse, which seems to suggest that a lot of places are getting attention. A lot of people are getting attention. A lot of preaching is going on. And a lot of healing is going on. Are you getting it? So you can sit back and say that enough work is being done. Isn't it? I like how it reads and says, Jesus went about all the cities and all the villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But, hallelujah. So it says, healing every, read it like I'm reading it. It says, healing every sickness among the people. But, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, when you read something and you introduce but, it means what you just read is not very important. It means what you just read is not a game changer. Do you understand? It means that what you read did not affect what is about to happen. Hallelujah. That there is something still happening in spite of what you just read. So read it again. It says, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But, wow, there's a but. It means forget about what you just read. Hallelujah. It means what you read didn't make big enough a difference. Hallelujah. And but what? When he saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Hallelujah. Amen. As sheep having no shepherd. Now, if a shepherd was around, you would expect that the shepherd would be preaching and teaching and feeding the sheep, isn't it? Yeah. Which is exactly what Jesus has been doing in every city and every village. And even in addition to that, healing every sickness and healing every disease. So you would have thought that if there is a shortage of anything at all, it is anything but a shepherd. Do you see what I'm saying? That there must be a shortage of some other thing, but not the work of a shepherd. But Jesus saw the multitudes and the way they fainted and were scattered abroad. He saw that, look, the main problem is that there is still a shortage of shepherding. Do you understand? There is a shortfall of shepherding, that the gift of shepherding is not going round enough. Hallelujah. Depending on where you are looking, you can easily get a feeling that enough work is being done. Enough churches are being started. Enough pastors, you see, especially if you drive around neighborhoods and you see mega churches. If you go to some of the bigger, more advanced churches and you see the car parks filled with cars, especially here in America, where, you know, everyone has a car. So when the car park is full, it means there are as many people, at least as many people as the cars you see outside. You see, and that easily gives the feeling that there are so many people. Do you understand? But if you even count the cars, that should tell you that it's not enough. Do you see? Because one car takes a lot of space. Takes more space than the person who is driving it. So when the car park is full, it doesn't mean the room is full. Do you see what I'm saying? But even that, if we go by large churches we see around, we see their car parks full of people, and we see so much on TV and so on and so forth, you can easily be deceived that another church is not necessary. Are you getting what I'm saying? But it all depends on where you are looking. So you see, one day in John chapter 4, go quickly to John chapter 4. Let me show you this passage also. John chapter 4, John chapter 4 and verse 34. John chapter 4. Let's start from verse 34. It says, Jesus saith unto them, my meat, do you see? My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Hallelujah. Amen. Right. Maybe you can back up a little bit and then you will see. Jesus has just finished having an encounter with the woman of Samaria. Do you see? In verse 29, the woman has gone to her friends and has announced to them, come and see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. Do you see that? Yeah. He says, relax, eat. You've done some preaching, is enough. Do you see what I'm saying? Then he said to them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore their disciples said one to another, has any man brought him aught to eat? Looks like someone sneaked a sandwich or some jollof or something like that into the church and Jesus has eaten, and that is why he doesn't want to eat. Do you understand? So hearing their question and observing their wonder, he began to explain that, look, what really satisfies me, my meat, is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Do you understand? Then he says to them, don't let that surprise you. Don't say that there are yet 4 months or that we have time. And then cometh the harvest. He said, behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Hallelujah. He said, look, you guys have an attitude that you need to change. He said, stop thinking that enough is being done, or that we have time, that we've done one, so we should relax. Do you understand? So you brought food and you are saying, let's eat, and so on. And when I'm not eating, you are explaining it in so many different ways that, you know, maybe someone brought some jollof, or someone brought some kind of fried rice, or some, what's the name of the Panda Express. You know? Panda Express. Or Paul said what? What is he eating? Huh? El Pollo Loco. Yeah. That someone brought El Pollo Loco to Jesus Christ. You see, between the services, do you see the thing? Yeah. I don't know what these guys were trying to suggest. You see. But when Jesus wouldn't eat, because he wasn't at ease, they seemed to be at ease in a way that they didn't find with Christ. Do you understand? They were enjoying a certain relaxation that Christ was not, or didn't seem to be flowing with, you see. And so they said, look, I mean, the guy doesn't want to eat. It must mean that somebody has brought him some food. Do you see? Because any normal person would know that it's time to relax and it's time to eat. But Jesus said, look, you guys, don't say that we have time. Don't say there are yet 4 more months before the harvest. He said, lift up your eyes. That means there's something to see. But it is because of where your eyes are looking that you can't seem to see what I'm seeing, and you can't seem to feel what I'm feeling. And therefore, the sense of urgency in this work we are doing has not hit you the way it has hit me. Are you understanding what I'm saying? He said, lift up your eyes and look. And of course, when people are looking elsewhere, when a person's eyes are looking, let's say you are looking downward. Pastor Charles, can you look down? Look down where you are. Can you just look on the floor or look at your iPad? Just look on your iPad screen. Can you see my shoes from where you are? Yeah. So you don't know that there are shoes right around you. Do you see what I'm saying? But it's because of where you're looking. You are so into yourself and looking into your screen and obsessed with your problems and your issues. Do you understand? And getting a job for yourself and fixing your car and, you know, things that have to do with you. I mean, you are just looking down here. So you don't know that right near you, I'm actually standing here and you may not even notice me. Do you understand? It is because people are looking right in front of them that they cannot see the vastness of the work that there is to do. That is why somebody will come and ask you, do you have to go to Rancho to have another church? Do you have to race after church? I mean, because when we were coming here, I was kind of racing. You see, racing to get here. Do you see what I'm saying? And just trying to get here quickly and so on. And you can easily ask yourself, who has sent you to do all these things? Who has asked you to do all this? But Jesus said, look, if you will lift up your eyes and look a little beyond your iPad screen, you may actually be acting the way I'm acting. You may be behaving the way I'm behaving. Perhaps you may even be wilder if you see what he has seen. Hallelujah. He said the fields, they are white already to harvest. And then he said, he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal. Wow! Why would you not do it? If the Bible says when you reap, you are gathering wages. Do you understand? That means God will pay you. And then you are gathering fruit unto eternal life. So it means the wages are different from the fruit unto eternal life. What we are doing is going to bless us in this life that now is, and it will bless us also in the life to come. It says, he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So this is the one reason why a church here is necessary. Hallelujah. A church in Rancho is necessary. A lighthouse church in Rancho is necessary. Amen. Can I have an amen?
Amen?
And we will not fall for the deception that enough work is being done. Hallelujah. That enough work is being done. There's a lot more that could be done. Hallelujah. Number two reason why the church here in Rancho is necessary is because our harvest field is the world. Our harvest field is the world. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That means God did not just send us to one small part of LA.
Right.
Do you see what I'm saying? God did not send us to one small part of LA. I mean, you can even feel it already that where we are in Hollywood, you can't even feel that we exist. Do you understand? When you're on a plane and you are about to land in LAX airport, do you see the vastness of LA? And the last time I was on a plane and I was looking down, you know, at LA, I was trying to find our church. Do you get it? And I was thinking from what I was seeing that even if you assigned us a dot, that would be too much for what we represent in LA. Do you understand? That by having just that one church, we are not even yet registering as a dot on the map of Los Angeles. Hallelujah. We're not even yet representing, and yet God has sent us into the world. He sent us into the world. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15 to 16. He says, and he said unto them, this is Mark chapter 15, verse 16. Why don't we read it together? Mark chapter 16 and verse 15 and 16. Have you found it? Just tap your Bibles to Mark. Zola, you are not tapping? What happened to you? She says she feels more spiritual with a book. I don't blame you. All right, yeah. Because if you work with computers all day, when you look at your Bible here, it looks like another joke. So you need to feel the pages. That's okay. Amen. All right. Now look at this. It says, let's read it together. 1, 2, 3, go. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Did you see that?
Yeah.
He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Bible says we should go into where? All the world. All the world. All the world. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So our assignment really is all the world. Do you understand? Our vision must be all the world. Do you understand? So if you're complaining us about us having come to Rancho, then wait till you see us in Malaysia. Because if we are reading the same Bible, we should be crisscrossing the world with the gospel. Somebody from Rancho should be pulling a trailer into Hollywood this afternoon, trying to have his second service, as we are also pulling our trailer from Hollywood to this place to have our second service. That is the way it's supposed to be. The world is supposed to be full of Christians crisscrossing. We are supposed to be meeting at airports. We meet in Amsterdam, and you are from Nigeria coming to LA to preach, while I'm from LA going to Nigeria to preach. That's how the gospel should be. And then we are in transit in Amsterdam and we say hello to each other and we continue on. Because if you read the same Bible, it should get you going. No matter where you are, it should get you moving in some direction. It should be helping you to move somewhere to do something for the Lord. The instruction is to go into all the world. It's to fill the world with the preaching of the gospel and to fill the world with churches. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That is why Jesus said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And he said, you shall be my witnesses. Let's read it. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. The book of Acts, chapter 1 and verse 8. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But ye shall receive power. Everybody say power.
Power.
After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Did you see that? And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea. Now when you say both, what does it mean? When you say both, when you say both, it means the two at the same time. Are you getting it? Yeah, he said you'll be doing it here and here. Do you understand? Not finish with this one and then get on with this one. That is a totally different instruction. He said you will be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Hallelujah. Now often, you know, because even geographically, if you were to look on the map at these places, then Jerusalem would seem to be the immediate area where the people were. And then Judea would be a little outside that. And then Samaria would still be further out. And then utmost parts of the world would be out there. So it would sound as if Jesus' instruction was start here. And when you are done with it, you go to the next place. When you are done with it, and you go to the next place. When you are done with it, you go to the next place. But there is nothing like getting done with a place. Do you understand? If you finish preaching here and you pack out of this place forever and you go to the next place, what happens to the new unbelievers who have arrived since you left? Do you see that the instruction was never that you finish preaching in a place and go to the next place? Do you understand? And finish preaching there and go to the next place. But what it is that while you are still preaching here, you start to extend yourself into this place and into that place and into this place so that you can be preaching in all these places at the same time. That is what the Lord wants us to do. That really is the Great Commission. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Hallelujah. He wants us to go out and preach the gospel and preach in places, but not to finish one. There's nothing like finishing because it will never finish. Every day, some new people have been born. And then some people who we wouldn't have included in our unbeliever list suddenly have matured into unbelievers. You know, because sometimes when we look at little children, we don't really count them as these are people that need to be preached to. But as we've been watching them, suddenly you see they grow and then they have now joined the pool of unbelievers. Do you understand? They join the unbeliever pool. And suddenly they are worthy recipients of the gospel. They can understand it now, and therefore it has to be preached to them. So there's nothing like finishing. We will never finish. We will never finish making people in Jerusalem and Judea and in all Samaria and utmost parts of the world. You can't finish making everybody their disciple. And that is why he didn't instruct us to do that. Do you understand? Let me show you again. Look in Matthew. Look at Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Wow. Are you learning something today? Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, isn't it? Teach all nations. And then the other one that we were reading, you know, I'm just hallelujah. Yeah, that go ye into all the world and make disciples of all nations is what I'm trying to share with you. But anyway, it's all right. Just skip it. Hallelujah. Amen. But just notice how Christ has sent us to make disciples in every nation. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Not make everyone in every nation a disciple. Do you see what I'm saying? He didn't say that go to one place and make everybody there a disciple. Once you are finished and you are sure everybody there has changed, then you go to the next place. What will happen to those who are dying in the next city while we are working here? Are you getting what I'm saying? And as for preaching the gospel, you must always think as though it depends only on you. Do you understand what I'm saying? You must always think as though, because if you say that others will do it, you may be surprised to find out that no one really is doing anything. Hallelujah. So God wants us to go out there and preach, and to preach a harvest field is the world. And you don't need anybody's permission to go to any part of the world and to set your tent up and start preaching over there also. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Next one. Next reason why this church is necessary in Rancho is because having another church means more souls are won into the kingdom. Having another church means more souls are won into the kingdom. Hallelujah. More souls are won into the kingdom. When this church takes off, we're going to find in this church people who otherwise would not have come into the church. Are you getting what I'm saying? We're going to find people who will belong to this church who would never have belonged to our early church, who would never have come to that place. Hallelujah. See, it may not appear right now. It feels like we just carried ourselves and came here to set our tents up and have our church here. We could have done this outside in LA. But it is because it's the beginning. It is the seed. Hallelujah. See, what we're doing looks like it doesn't matter. But it's in the realm of the spirit. If only you could see the value of what we are doing. Hallelujah. It's another seed being planted here. Is another bomb going off in this place. Hallelujah. And there will be people here who would otherwise never have come into the church. Are you getting what I'm saying? Just like now, we know people that we didn't know when you were living in Ohio. Isn't it? If you hadn't come here, you wouldn't know some of these people that we know. Isn't it? If we had stayed in Oakland, we wouldn't know some of the people we know now. I mean, it would be very painful. We didn't even know Philippa. Can you imagine that? It would be very painful. Do you understand? Yeah. And who knows who we are missing? By not coming to Rancho, who knows who we have missed so far? And who knows whom God is getting ready to introduce to us? And what a difference some of those people will even make to some of our lives. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. So it means more souls have been saved. More souls have been saved. And what we are doing for people is we are giving them one more opportunity. Do you understand? There are opportunities here for salvation already. But we are adding one more opportunity. Do you get it? We're adding one more opportunity. It's like jobs. There may be jobs in a city already, but when someone invests in that city, he's adding another opportunity for people to have jobs. Do you understand? And everybody's life gets better when you have more opportunities in front of you. And I believe what God wants to do is to give the people who live in Rancho and Fontana and Covina and where else is near here? Rialto and Pomona and what's the name of your place? Duarte and San Bernardino and where? Azusa and Chino. God is giving them one more opportunity to be saved. Hallelujah. One more opportunity, one more opportunity, and one more place to go to for salvation. Can I have an amen? Is that a blessing or what? It is a blessing. Hallelujah. The next point, how many have you got?
Three.
3 points. All right. Number four. Point number four is this church is necessary because more workers and laborers are released for the work of God. More workers and laborers will be released for the work of God. Hallelujah. Now, I believe there are many of God's children in this area who will be involved with the work of God. Do you understand? See, if we hadn't come to LA at all, some of you would not be involved in the work of God the way you are. I mean, look at you, Ine. You are standing here leading worship. I mean, you see, that would not have happened. Do you understand? Every time a new church starts, more people have opportunity to work for God. A new church always releases more laborers. Do you understand? It creates more opportunity for work. A time is going to come, we will not be duplicating the work in this place. Do you understand? Yeah, we will not have the same person lead praise and worship. I mean, like Paul got here today to find out he's fired. or even if he's not fired, that his powers don't extend here. Do you understand? Yeah, that he can control us on the other side and say, stand up, sit down, lift up your hand, put your hands down, close your eyes. And then you know how Paul, he does his whole spiritual thing. And, you know, I want everybody to lift their hands to the Lord. And, you know, this guy has been ruling us and controlling us. But over here, he's a visitor. You see, yeah, today is his first time in a church. And we'll be asking him to stand up soon as a first-time visitor in our Rancho church over here. Because over here, some other people have been released. Some other people are powerful in this place. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. When we got here, Jason said he wants to play the piano. You'll be surprised that maybe in this place, the pianist will also be different. Huh? Hallelujah. So until a new church starts, a lot of gifting and talents are just hoarded and they get locked up in people because they don't have the opportunity to do something for God. Hallelujah. But the kingdom of God is such that after you've been fed a while, the Bible says there's a time when you also have to be a teacher. You also have to be doing something. Otherwise, you cannot be a Christian for a long time. I think the master key to longevity in the Lord is really working for him. I don't think it is even attending church. Attending church will only get you offended one day. Will only get you. Yeah, that's what is going to happen to you. You just keep going to churches. It will only make you familiar with the Bible, familiar with the sermons, familiar with preaching. Soon you will not even appreciate preaching. You will get so used to preaching, you are not impressed by the Bible. You become so religious. You know everything already. No matter which preacher comes, Nobody sends you ticking, really, because you are not impressed. You've heard so many sermons. When a pastor starts preaching, he says, lift up your hand, you just know where. You won't even lift up your hand because you think you know everything and you've seen it all before. That is what going to church a lot is going to do for you. It will turn you into a super religious person who is not impressed by anything new. Hallelujah. The only true guarantee for longevity in the Lord is when people are working for him. Hallelujah. Much like exercise keeps people healthy, exercising and movement keeps people strong and healthy, and it makes people shed calories and so on, which otherwise would have become a danger to that same person. Because as we are being fed spiritually, we are packing on spiritual calories. And all these spiritual calories, if we do not expend them, will end up becoming a danger to our Christian life. That is what will happen. Do you see what I'm saying? That is what will happen. As you keep packing on verses and verses and verses and verses, a time is going to come when you'll be sick of pride because of how many verses you know. That is what is going to happen to you. Do you understand? The verses you know will make you proud. They will make you familiar. You see, a spirit of familiarity and religious pride will descend upon you, taking advantage of what you know. I mean, if you've met some of these people who have read the Bible a lot and who say they've read the Bible from cover to cover, you can't even share a very basic truth with them. You can't even share anything with them. You see that they are past being blessed by the Bible. You see, and from time to time I meet such people and I feel very sad and sorry for them, because everything you have to say, they already know. Do you understand? And yet they need to be told something. You see, they are sick of bitterness, they are angry or something. You want to share with them about forgiveness. And as you start to talk about forgiveness, they will start telling you about forgiveness. Then you wonder, you know all this, so why are you still bitter? And you realize that your medication, the only antidote you know to this problem, is not working on him, because the person has developed immunity and antibodies in the system towards what you have to say. You see, you can't help them. Are you following what I'm saying? I met someone the other day and he was complaining a lot about his church and his pastor and so on. And so I just rose up with zeal and I was going to share. But I realized everywhere I pass, anything I say, he already knows it. He already knows it. And yet he's being chewed up by bitterness and by anger. And so, and I could see that, look, his ministry, because he's a pastor. So your ministry and everything is in danger. You are actually dying spiritually. Unfortunately, all the medication I have for you, you have developed immunity to all of them. Your body rejects, your system rejects all of them. And so no one can help you. So I just realized that I had to just shut up, just be with him and just watch him suffer and go through the things he's going through. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's a very dangerous place to be, to develop immunity towards the word of God and the things that could be taught to you. That is why you need to exercise. You need a way of expending the spiritual calories. You need a way of exercising yourself. Are you getting what I'm saying? You need something that uses up the calories. Something that uses up the verses. You know, that is why we need to put ourselves in this situation. Hallelujah. You say you won't even have time to backslide. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, you have to put yourself in this type of situation. And it keeps you on your toes. And keeps you going. Keeps you young. It keeps you exercised. Keeps you energized for the long haul. Can I have an amen? Right? So what was number what? Four? What was that? What was number four? More workers, isn't it? More workers and laborers are released, isn't it? Then number five, more prayer against the power of the prince of the air. More prayer against the power of the prince of the air in this area. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Amen? Amen. So he says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take on the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and so on. Then verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Hallelujah. Well, when you have a church or another church or a lighthouse church for that matter in Rancho, What you have done is you have brought another bomb onto the battlefield. Hallelujah. I am sure that the churches in this area are already doing their best and doing whatever they can do. Hallelujah. What we have brought on is more ammunition. Do you see? We have brought on another tanker to come and add to the fighting of spiritual battles in this area. Hallelujah. That is the reason. If somebody asks you, why do you have to have another church in Rancho? The answer is to add more guns. Do you see? Ask them, why do you think more nations are coming together to fight ISIS? Ask the person, tell the person if you can answer that question. The answer is actually the same as the reason why Lighthouse has decided to have a church in Rancho. Yeah, same reason. The reason why the UK has not left ISIS to America. Do you understand? The reason why Jordan and Saudi Arabia and all these countries are actually coming together to fight this one common enemy. What is the reason for that? Hallelujah. It's the same reason. We are just bringing more ammunition to the field. Hallelujah. One more bomb against the devil. Hallelujah. Because every time, I tell you what we are doing, it looks weak. Do you understand? But God chooses weak things to confound the wise. It looks like it's not powerful. But if God was to open your eye to see the effect of prayer being said here, the effect of worship going on here, the effect of another song being sung here, I mean the worship, just that small worship time that we led here, I mean the spiritual effect on the atmosphere in this area, if God was to open your eye to see it, you would drop every argument you have against a church being here. You will begin to realize that in the realm of the spirit, another church matters. That when you have another church, the enemy is further weakened. Do you understand? Another stronghold is lost. And the more strongholds that are lost by the enemy in the area, the more salvation is possible. Because the Bible says the only reason why salvation or people are not saved is because the God of this world has blinded their eyes. Do you understand? He's blinded their eyes, that yet lest they should see the light of the glorious gospel. They cannot see the glory in the gospel because their eyes are blind. And this God of this world, when you start another church, you have set up another ambush against him. And you have set up another unit that fights against him. There's a difference between when we gather to pray here and when we gather to pray in LA. Are you getting what I'm saying? Our prayers in LA do not affect this area in a certain way as the way our prayers affect this area when we arrive here to come and pray over here. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, when we come here, we bring his presence and we stamp out evil in a certain strong and forceful way. That does not happen when we remain on the other side. Hallelujah. So if anyone thinks they have a problem with us starting a church in Rancho, they ain't seen nothing yet. Hallelujah. Tell them that they haven't seen anything yet. But if they are thinking the way we are thinking, then really they should expect to be seeing more churches. Hallelujah. More churches for God until the whole world begins to bow. And until the whole world, hallelujah. Rancho area needs one more light. I tell you, one more bulb just to bring more light. You see, when you have more light, you decrease the likelihood that there will be total darkness. Are you getting what I'm saying? The enemy works on churches trying to put out the lights one by one. That's the reason why they've changed. If you notice, they've changed all the traffic lights are now LED lights. And LED lights are just small bulbs. So many of them lighted at the same time. So even when they go off, before you be driving and you get to a traffic light and you see it's off. The bulb, maybe the red is off, and only the yellow and green are working. Now you hardly see that, because it's no longer one single bulb giving all that light. And so when that bulb goes out, and that is it. No, it's rather so many small bulbs giving that green light. So when you look carefully, next time you get to the traffic light, look at it. When you look carefully, you will see there are some of them that are off. And yet it's still working, and it's still directing traffic, and it's still doing what it's supposed to do. Do you understand? Because the light from that thing is not coming from just one source. Because in our world today, many churches are under attack. There are churches that are closing down because they are in debt. There are churches that have breakups and so many different things that go on that affect churches. It's like the LED lights going off here and there and so on. But if as often as the lights are going out, more bulbs are being added to the thing, there is no way that you get to the stoplight and not find a green light. You will find a green light, you will find a red light, you will find a yellow light, because the light is not coming from one source. The more churches there are, the better it is for Christianity. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That is why we need one more light in Rancho. And when we have one more light, it's one more opportunity for salvation. It's one more opportunity for a laborer to work. It's one more opportunity for God to be glorified. It's one less excuse for people to have for not worshiping God. It's one more type of church. One more option for churchgoers. Hallelujah. Every church is different. May have something else to offer. But at least you are bringing one more type of church, so that people will be less and less without excuse. This is what God seeks to accomplish by bringing us here. And we are blessed to be the ones to be brought here. Can I have an amen? So we will persist and we will press on until this room is full. They have a better hall waiting for us just over there. Nicer hall. Our eyes are already on it. Isn't it? Yeah, it has a beautiful stage and everything. And we're going to possess the place. And very soon, this will be known as one of the major churches in this area. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Stand to your feet and let's pray and thank God for our church in Rancho. Say amen. Hallelujah. Wow. Why don't you bow your heads and begin to pray for this church and say, Lord, thank you for this church right here in Rancho. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you for the people you have ordained for this church to touch. Thank you for all the men, all the women, so many people that God is using, so many people that God is preparing to be a part of this great work. Thank him for the opportunity and thank him for the future of this church in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Makabo shatalawalaba bayawalaba. Makasotoli mikandari alaba mashandari alaba. Oh, yes, Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you for this church. And thank you for the light, oh God. Thank you for one more light, one more bomb, one more piece of ammunition, one more place of fellowship, one more place, and one less reason for people to stay at home. Oh God, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you for the privilege. In the name of Jesus. Holy, holy God Almighty, it's a privilege to worship you, maker of all universe. It's an honor just to stand before holy, holy God Almighty. It's a privilege to worship you, maker of great thing to serve the Lord. And we thank you. There are some who just want to be Christians, who sit in the pews, who just go to church and back home. But we know that, Lord, you're looking for laborers. And so rather than just go to church and go sit in our homes, we choose to make ourselves available. We choose to make ourselves available and say, Lord, if you can use anything and use people like us, Lord, you get to have us. We dedicate and devote our Sundays to you. He said, we give ourselves to you to use as much as you can, as much as is possible, to bring as many people to the Lord as possible in the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you for your great blessing. Thank you for this honorable opportunity. We are grateful to you, Lord. Thank you. We pray that the seeds we are sowing here, the seeds we are planting in this place, will receive watering in the name of Jesus by the Holy Spirit, and that you will cause it to see increase until it becomes a tree and until it bears the fruit that you desire to see on it. In the name of Jesus, bless this work, Lord. Bless this church, Lord. Bless this planting, Lord. Bless this seed, Lord. Let it grow. Let it rise out of the ground. Let it be strong. Let people be drawn to it. Let the birds of the air come and take shelter in it. Let it give light to many people. Let it be a blessing to many people. Let the word go round. Let angels spread the word and begin to draw people, oh God, unto yourself. In the name of Jesus, we are grateful to you for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.